danger that stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. Melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. A telepathy, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Well, I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good music. With only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug out bone. Triple shots, that's a trait.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good music.
One of you, thank you so much for joining me here this evening on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. As you hear, that is our welcoming chimes where we open up all of the windows and doors to allow all of the positive energy to flow in this place this evening. I am your host, Maria Wall, a.k.a. the Mediator, the Shero at your ground zero, and I am so delighted that you are here this evening. This is going to be an abbreviated show. My special guest this evening is Diane Bischoff James. Let me tell you a little bit about Diane. We could have talked forever in our pre-show because Diane is going to be bringing you so much good advice this evening. As always, I am continuing to bring you the very best in show guests this year, that I promise you. And tonight, I'm carrying on that promise. So a little bit about Diane. She's an award-winning author of The Real Brass Ring, Change Your Life Course Now. She's a motivational speaker and entrepreneur who specializes in life-enhancing transformation. She's a dynamic midlife reinventionalist who helps others recognize their own power and potential as an actor and performer. She recognizes and encourages audiences to create a reality that is prosperous, deliberate, and meaningful. And because Diane has family in tonight, we're going to get this show started right here, right now. So please join me in welcoming Diane to Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Hello, Diane. Welcome back.
Hello, Maria. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I am ecstatic. I have been looking forward to speaking with you for so long, and we have been working on scheduling you for a little bit now, so wow, this is going to be great. Sit back, relax. The audience is, oh, and before we get started, oh my goodness, welcome to all of our listeners over in the call query and over in the chat room. Thank you so much for being here this evening. If you'd like to be online before Diane leaves, remember, give us a call if you're not in the call query at 646-478-4726. Then press the number 1 on your phone to be on air. All of you over in the call query, thank you for being here as well. Welcome, welcome. Now let's get started, because I promise you we won't hold you too long so you can get to your family. But I guess we can start with a little bit about, when you look in the mirror, who do you see looking back at you? Who is Diane?
Oh, what a beautiful question. Oh, I love that. I would have to say, quite honestly, the answer is very different now than when I started this journey of midlife rebooting. But mm-hmm. now I feel like I am living my accountable authenticity, which would be fulfilling all of, I would have to say it feels very real, like the contracts, whatever I agreed to do in this life. I'm very fortunate. I've had the chance to become a SAG actor. I started being a marketing consultant, and I still do some business work in the corporate arena, but I'm very fulfilled on the performer side. It's a lot of fun. I think I got to do about 7 movies last year, and I have finished. The book has been on tour just this year, and it has been such a beautiful experience. I've had the chance to tour all over the country, meet people everywhere. I have a private consulting business helping people work through their midlife reboot, and I have a family. I have 3 beautiful children and a fiance, and have I have to say, a really peaceful household, which I'm not sure I really knew what that was 10 years ago. And so I am a very happy person, and I'm having a great time.
Wow, I love that. That best wishes on you. You said you're engaged?
Yes, we have a long-term engagement. I call it the forever engagement. We're just taking it, you know, we're just being real and in the moment. And I had a long-term marriage, and just a really quick segue into kind of the story. About 10 years ago, I went to see Sonia Choquette. She's an internationally mm-hmm. known psychic, and a lot of people know of her now. She has maybe 14 books out, and I think at the time when I met her, she was still kind of emerging, had 1 or 2 books out, and was seeing people in her home. And I had all the, I mean, Maria, I was all about the American dream, you know, like, let's get, you know, big job, big education, big career, try to get a big mini mansion, which I ended up getting. And I had all the stuff, you know, I was told, you know, be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, accountant, and then you're going to be a happy person. If you make a lot of money, you're going to mm-hmm. be a happy person. You know, and you get that marriage and you stay in it because that's what you do. You know, so I followed all these rules and I was this programmed soldier marching through life, and I was 38 years old. I went to see Sonia, and I thought she was going to tell me, oh my gosh, girl, you know, you got everything going on. You're perfect. You're wonderful. Just keep going. But instead, for about an hour, she shredded my life, like, right in front of me. She said, you're in the wrong field. I don't know what you're doing in this marketing business. It's not where you belong. You're supposed to be this writer, a teacher, a healer. And I had written nothing other than, like, brochures, you know, marketing brochures for engineering mm-hmm. companies about widgets and gadgets. And then she said, oh, you're supposed to be an actor, and you'll be okay on stage. Well, you know, I was in High School Musicals. That's like where I left
right.
that one. So here I am, like, you know, midlife going, what are you talking about? And then she said, your relationship with your husband. She said, you're in a relationship with a girlfriend. You know, she said, you do not have a heartfelt connection. This is functioning, but that's about it. And she's like, you don't, you know, it's not right. So you either have to address it. You know, she said, you're a smother mother. She's like, you're just hovering all over your kids like a helicopter, and you're not, you know, they, you know, you're not doing the loving type of parenting. You're doing the obligational kind of parenting. And then she said, I'm going to tell you something no one's going to say to your face. She goes, you're clinically and chronically depressed. Now, I hadn't told anybody. That was a huge secret. But I had been popping those little white pills. Prozac back then was, you know, this is like 10 years ago, was incredibly popular. And I told the doctor, you know, I feel like I can't get out of bed. I want to cry all the time. And I had this like dark cloud over my head. So he hands me, he didn't even ask me anything else. He's like, oh, just take this. So he hands me this prescription. And I was munching Prozac like every day, all day, trying to like feel better. And then she was too polite to say this part, but I was also 190 pounds. So I clearly was overweight, and I wasn't, my body was falling apart. So she's like, you're going to have to, like, she said, you're this unlit Christmas tree. And she goes, you better hurry up and grab at the real brass ring before it's too late. And after an hour of being literally life bashed, you know, I sat there and I said, okay, I have one question. Too late for what? You know, what happens if I don't grab at this thing you're calling the real brass ring? And she kind of spun her head around and she looked at me and she goes, it's going to be too late and you're going to have to come back and do it all over again. And then she like took off out of the office. And I was sitting there, you know, I had to go to a business meeting. I walked to my car, it's February in Chicago, and I started sobbing in the car. It was, you know, 20 below zero, and I'm just crying my eyes out thinking, how is it possible I did absolutely everything wrong? How am I 40 years old and I've completely messed this life up? When I thought, you know, at least I thought I was doing the right stuff, you know? And so, so that's kind of, you know, I think it touches on a lot of aspects of life, but it wasn't like someone said, oh, you know, maybe you just need to change your relationship or perhaps move down the street or change jobs or something. It was everything about your life is completely off track and you've got, you know, hurry up, fix it, boom, go. And so it was tough. It was really tough because I didn't know, I had no idea where to start, and I had three kids to feed. You know, what does that mean? Right. Oh, just quit everything and then hope that you can, you know, put some bread on the table. So it was really a big challenge. But I have to say 10 years later, that's why I love your question, because it's really a sweet, beautiful question. Now, it just feels awesome because a lot of that is behind me and I had the chance to totally reboot. So it feels amazing to get, you know, to what I call it, you know, your life track. When your life is on your passion track, oh my gosh, it's like all the clouds lift and the gods start singing and it feels just so much better.
Right. And I'll tell you this, Diane, including myself, there's a lot of people here who will be listening or who are listening. We need to talk about that reboot. And I believe that some of the things that we do in midlife, I call it, that's just our second lifetime coming, but we have to reboot from adolescence to adulthood. Then we have to reboot again when we're moving from that 20-something phase to, say, the 35 or so. A lot of women, when they turn 30, they have to reboot. And, you know, the reboot really doesn't stop per se until we get to that point where we are smiling when we look at the person looking back at us in that mirror. So, you know, you picked one point that you were speaking about was when you were 190 pounds. But let's go back before we get into that, because that was the part of the book I'd like to read a little excerpt from for the listeners. And welcome to all of the listeners. Thank you so much for joining us here. I see the call query is jumping this evening. Tonight, my very special guest is Diane Bischoff-James. She is the author of The Real Brass Ring, Change Your Life Course Now. And we're going to get into that. I know some people are waiting patiently to log on to wherever they can get the book, Amazon or wherever. They're waiting patiently. I promise you, before she leaves, we'll give you that information. Great book. But you said that you had discovered that you were a loving versus obligational parent. Could you touch on that for a little bit, because I think that some of our listeners need to understand the difference between being a loving versus an obligational parent.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for asking that question. I was programmed. I felt like I was programmed. My mother, you know, they did the best they could, you know, but they were really strict backgrounds, kind of the post-depression kind of babies. So they grew up with a lot of rules. And I do believe that my mom had been programmed to parent out of pure obligation, not joy, not love. And my father, I will say, he had rage-a-hall, if there's such a thing. You know, we mm-hmm. never quite knew when he was going to fly off the handle. And I think I took both of those patterns into my own parenting for the first, and I have to say this unfortunately, for maybe the first 11, 12 years, until I marched myself off to a place that helped me get rid of that. And I noticed that I always had, you know, I felt like I was Molly McMaid. I was picking up after everyone, but yet yelling at everyone and expecting them to, they never knew when I was going to fly off the handle. I'm not totally proud of this because I do think I had quite of that, you know, suppressed anger and rage about I have to do everything and I have to work and have my own business and I have to bring in the money. And so it was kind of like, it was never the fun part of, do you remember those commercials where they say, you know, you could fry up the bacon and cook it up in a pan
uh-huh.
and never let your guy forget
yes.
he's a man? Well, I saw that growing up, and I thought, oh, that's the new woman. You know, the new woman does everything, and then the man comes in at 7 and relaxes. Well, we make sure they're happy, and the kids are quiet. And well, I wanted to somehow, I thought that was what I was supposed to do. And I was doing it, unfortunately, Maria, not on a happy note. I was doing it
right.
with a lot of suppressed anger. And I was not happy with the way I was parenting, to the point that I once, my mom came in and I was pregnant with my third kid, and she was helping me babysit one day, and, you know, she kind of popped in, and I'll just never forget the day. I said, you know, what are they doing out there? And she said, oh, they're just playing, you know, businesswoman like you, and, you know, they just want to be like you. And I literally felt like my head snapped. I felt like I was, like, from The Exorcist. You know, my head snaps around, and
right.
I looked at her, and I said, why would anyone want to be like me? And I kind of started to cry, and I felt like I was going to get sick at the same time. And I realized that's how incredibly unhappy I was with parenting, with my life, with what was going on. And that was my hitting rock bottom for me. I realized that was so sick at the time, the way I felt about who I was, especially as a mother, that I went to the place Sonia told me to go to. She said, march off to this place called Hoffman Institute. It's in Northern California. And for 7 days, they're going to get rid of these patterns that you have, and you're going to come back a new human being. And I realized at that rock bottom moment, because I was so not wanting anyone to grow up like me, I knew I needed to do something, because I did not want to bring any more kids into this world like that. So
right.
I did. I went to this place, and I kind of like, it was, you know, fairly expensive, but it was like, I don't care what it costs. I need to be a different person. So I did for 7 days, and it's every type. It's like maybe 15 years of therapy in 7 days. And I realized I've been functioning out of these bad patterns and this mindset of pure burden. And
mm-hmm.
I hated that part about myself. And it allowed me to come out of after seven days to realize, oh, I'm a good person. And I, for the first time, saw what it meant to have self-love. I had appreciation for kind of where I had been and where I was going, and I was like this brand new spanking baby soul. And since then, it allowed me to shift my parenting. It allowed me to create a different kind of household. And of course, my kids said, I never really thought I'd hear these words, but within like a month after getting back, they said, I don't know where you went, but we're really glad you went there because you're not who you were, and we like this new you better. Because I didn't have the, it was that reactionary button, and I know,
mm-hmm.
God bless us all, we all have it, right? You know, my daughter once was, kicking off her shoe, and the shoe flies across the room, smashes, the only thing that I really liked, which was this beautiful antique, it was like a chocolate pot, into a million pieces, right in front of me. And as any mom, and we all know the kids do stuff like that. And I looked at her and I thought, wow, I hope you have some savings because we're going to have to go shopping for antiques now to try to replace this. I didn't scream. I wasn't like, you know, smoke wasn't coming out of my ears. And I'm like, okay, this place has helped me because I was able to really remember if money can buy it. You know, if money, you know, the only problems are the things that money can't buy. So I realized this is not a problem. We can replace the chocolate pot. I don't need to scream at her. She doesn't need to see me go crazy. And it really changed the way I was able to parent. And so I think I have so many beautiful tips that I've learned since, you know, returning from that place about parenting. But it, like, gets you off that reaction button and into, you know, clear micro-truthing, telling the truth in the moment, allowing your kids to speak the truth, and not seeing a parent that's going to punish them when they're trying to speak their own truth. And we can express it, set up the consequences, and so it all functions. And that's when I said peaceful household. I am just blessed. Nobody's raging, nobody's screaming, nobody's crying, most of the time. You know?
Right.
No, in case it's like a kid, you know how kids stuff, like somebody broke up with me, unless it's stuff that's appropriate. We really have found peace. And I think that that's maybe one of the best gifts that I've had from going through this reboot.
Right. And I think I love it where you say, if money can buy it, it can be replaced. And that is so true. And I said, wow, you know, that's a powerful statement, because a lot of times we tend to fly off the handle because if something's broken, if something's this, and we're upset. But we bought it with money, and money can still buy it again. And sometimes it's something that really doesn't need to be replaced. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. So if money can fix it, it's not a problem. Can I give you one more quick example?
Sure.
Just because I think everyone can relate to this, and she'll probably go crazy if she knows I'm telling this story on air, but my daughter, you know, she's new driver, 16, and of course, you know, she's doing really well. It's about 2 months into driving, and I'm starting to get comfortable. Okay, cool. We're watching TV. She's backing out of a very long driveway, and I hear that, like a weird, like, crunch, like, it was a weird sound. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, that sounds bad. Well, I didn't realize exactly what it was. I didn't know if it was an animal or what it was. She comes back in the house maybe 15 minutes later, and she looks at me and she goes, I have a couple $100 saved from babysitting, so I just want to let you know I'll pay to fix the car. And I'm like, fix the car? And she goes, yeah, I kind of hit the stair post, you know, backing into the driveway. And I said, okay, I went out and I looked at it again. I just stared at this knowing it's a minimum of $2,000 to fix what she just did to the car. The entire back quarter was crunched in. And I said to her, okay, well, we're going to look at it like this, because she's starting to cry now, because I said, you know, it's about a $2,000 fix right there. And I said, first of all, we have insurance, so, you know, you're going to have to pay for the difference, I said, because that's what's going to happen when you hit the car, so you need to understand the process. I said, but the second thing is, you didn't hit a person. You didn't hit a cat. You didn't hit a dog. Nothing alive. I said, if money can fix it, it's not a problem. Now, money can fix this, and it's going to cost you money. You're going to have to, if you have to work or whatever, you have to make it up. But I want to let you know that your first accident is over. We're putting it behind us, and you're not going to hit anything else, right? And she's like, no, that's it. Yeah. You know, so she was grateful that I wasn't going crazy. We talked about it. There's a consequence. But the important thing is there's always an upside. And when you can always look at that upside, and that's, I call it the wave. We all have a wave. We're beings of light. The upside of any situation allows you to change your frame of reference. So instead of going, oh, my God, we've got to fix the car, take it in, oh, you got to pay the insurance, there goes my, you know, my deductible, I was like, you didn't hit something that's going to be a life-changing event. It's a stair.
Right.
It's the stairs. But the only funny thing is the guy in the insurance, I talked to him, and he's like, she hit the post. I'm like, yeah. He said, oh, that must be a new stairs. I'm like, no. It's only been there forever.
Right.
But, you know, so there's always something kind of funny about it, in that, no, she hit something that's completely stationary. But she learned something, and I'll tell you what, she's a really careful driver now. So there we go. We got our first one under our belt. And so I just always invite everyone to look at your wave. You can always grab, and there's these 14 shortcuts for happy living. They've changed my life. They're in the book. They've changed the life of everyone I'm able to help with private consulting. They do change your life because they allow you to look at things differently. And one of them is always reach for the thought that feels better. We don't have to keep mulling and spinning on all the things that could make us be upset or angry. And so I'm always encouraging everyone, in any situation, even if it's unpleasant, there is one thought that will make you feel better. So that's one of the lessons that I really focus on and has helped me and
Wow.
helped everyone I've had the chance to work with.
And I like that too. Tina over in our event chat over on Facebook, she says acting versus reacting is something she's still working on. And Tina, I don't think that you're alone in that. I believe that a lot of us are still learning that lesson of differentiation for the acting versus reacting to things. So, you know, it's a journey. And I believe in some cases it could be a long journey. And as long as we are learning something as we are moving along, that's what matters. So, yeah, most definitely. I really like that, and I really like, you know, you just pick the thought that feels better. You pick the best mm-hmm. thought, and that makes life so much simpler. And, you know, a lot of times I think that so many of us, we get so hung up in the moments and just overanalyzing things and reliving things from the past and bringing them into the situation that just happened, that we lose sight of that simple little thing that can change everything. Something as simple as just looking at it in a different way and picking that thought that feels the better or that feels best. So I know that you said that we have limited time tonight, so let me get into the book for a moment. And this is something new that I'm doing this year for the guests, especially when there's something that's really touching to me in the book. And as you said earlier, you had gotten up to 190 pounds, and there's so many of us listening, I'm sure, or who will be listening to the replay, who have the battle of the bulge. And you speak about that in chapter 5, I believe. Hold on a minute. Let me get this together. So for all of you here, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to read a little bit of an excerpt from your book, the intro to chapter 5, and then a part of, the fourth paragraph. So the battle of the bulge. I ate to suppress the sadness and solitude that had consumed my early years. As a budding teenager, I tried every one of the weight loss clubs. I was a member of Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, and yes, Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, I am Diane, and I am an overeater. That's right. And then we go over here where this part really touched me in the book. In freshman year, one picturesque spring day, I walked home and took a moment to squat down and admire the Pacific bluebells emerging from the soil. There, I heard it, the voice of a malicious neighbor child bellowing from behind the protection of a nearby boxwood hedge. Hey there, thunder thighs. I can see your thighs shake when you walk. I felt the beast's words like a glass dagger stab into my chest cavity, piercing through the organs. I spun around humiliated, trying to get a glimpse of the assailant. But he remained hidden. I thundered all the way to my front door. The accuracy of the boy's comment made the agonizing wound even more excruciating. So let's talk about that, the infamous Battle of the Bulge. I think a lot of us deal with this. A lot of us have allowed this to consume us.
Mm-hmm.
So you can share that journey with us.
Clearly it is so many people struggle with it. And I struggle with it even today in my head. I've been very lucky to lose 55 pounds, and I'm about 135 pounds now and holding steady. But I have to say that my addiction this lifetime, and I think most of us have some type of thing in which it's hard for us to handle, and I'll call it an addiction, because for me it has been food. Because when I was really young, I think the only experience of love for myself was when I had a Hostess product in my hand and I was putting it in my mouth, and that glorious endorphin rush from getting all the sugar and all that stuff. When I was young, we moved about every 2 years, 2 to 3 years. So I was never in any location long enough really to establish nice, beautiful relationships, and then we'd move again. So all I knew really was loss. But the one thing I had consistently for stuffing my pain was food. And it's the go-to place for me even now. When I have a stressful day, or if I, you know, have an audition and I know I just blew it, I literally, and I allow myself now, but I can go and put some good treats in there to make me feel better. So I think what happened to me is I really had it confused for half of my life. Food mm-hmm. was love. Food was the only thing that ever felt like love, because it felt so good. But of course we all know, after you finish eating a ding-dong and a Twinkie and a snowball, on the other side of it, there's also the self-hatred. Because every time I would continue to eat, I knew I hated myself. So it's as much, you know, it's the pure picture of heaven and hell. Heaven for a minute, and then hell, because you just did that. How could you do that? You're so, you know, so I had all the self-beating and the self-punishment going on. And every time I had another child, as with many of us, you know, found, you can gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
So after my third one, you know, I had to hop on the scale. I wanted to kill the nurse, but she made me get on the scale after my last baby, and I was 190 pounds. And I knew I was the size of a 6'1" man. And I knew I didn't want to do that this lifetime. I didn't want to stay the weight that for me was like of a prize wrestler. You know, I wanted to be down
right.
at what I called, I looked at myself, I said, like, you know, I really had to have, like, you know, I hate to say it, like a coming to Jesus with myself. And I knew that inside me there was a woman who was fit. And I also didn't feel good, because when you're overweight, a lot of times the body can't handle the extra pounds. So I was
right.
having back problems. I had foot problems. I was having knee problems. I was having all that stuff break down, because very often that breaks down because we're not designed to be that weight. So I call there was a champion weight, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and then there was a happy weight and a champion weight, and I set those for myself. And there's a great book, and this is a book, it's an oldie but a goodie, and I strongly recommend everybody get it, because it's Janine Roth's book, When Food is Love. And that was the first step. That book really changed my life. And I'll give you it in kind of in a nutshell. I do think you should read it, but here's the quick aha from Janine Roth. What she said is that we forget that our bodies have the intuition. They have the knowledge. The body knows what you want to eat, how you want to feel, and the body knows when it's full and when it's hungry. And I had lost, I thought my buttons on hungry and full were completely broken. But after I read her book, I went into this entire experimentation phase where I would try to feel again, okay, what does hungry feel like? I really didn't know, because I was constantly full, because I was eating not only 3 meals a day, I think I was eating like 5 solid meals a day. And I started shifting, just really getting in touch with, and I call it, you know, your emotional radar detector, or just really getting in touch with your feelings, your actual feelings inside your body. So I started looking for that full button when it starts to go off, you know, it goes like beep, beep, beep. And I think we all know what that's like. Clearly at Thanksgiving, it's like beep, 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 because it's like, you
right.
know, we're over full. We've given ourselves permission that day, and I eat like anything I want that day. It's a day off. It's whatever you want to do. But when I started to really pay attention to the early signs of the beeping of being full, that's the first day I started losing weight. And I believe a lot of it's society, a lot of it's that we're so programmed, a lot of it's that we just don't get physical exercise like we're supposed to, because we have, you know, we used to be farmers and we have to till the field from 6 a.m. until 5. We're not doing it anymore. We're in cars and we're sitting at desk jobs. So we're going to have to, I had to be more conscious, and I strongly recommend everybody pay attention to the body, your body. Mm-hmm. Do you ever go somewhere and you're like, wow, kale and spinach look really good right now? You know, sometimes like I'll be like, wow, if I only had a juice bar or something, because if you're able to go and kind of put some kale and spinach, believe it or not, it's the two best foods ever made. They not only give you a natural high, they take care of the iron. They take care of all of that, you know, the greens that we do need. They give you the A and the C and the Bs. And the weird thing is now when I'm feeling kind of like that cloudy feeling again comes, and it does still come over me sometimes, I actually run and I grab some kale and spinach and kind of throw it in the blender with some apple and watermelon. Honestly, mm-hmm. you get a bigger high than any Prozac will ever give you. And this is just natural stuff.
Right.
Add some ice in there. If you want to, throw a little, you know, a little bit of sugar, whatever you want to do. I don't need the sugar because the watermelon covers it for me.
Right.
I literally feel like $1 million after a little natural boost, kind of a juicer kind of thing. And no one told me that. I always thought you had to eat 3 meals a day. Honestly, mm-hmm. I eat now when I'm hungry. A really simple technique, I say eat like a toddler. I know that sounds weird, but toddlers, you'll probably, you know, like if they're hungry, they're taking their fists and everything's going in their mouth. The minute they're not hungry anymore, they start throwing the food off the tray. You know, the little
right.
kids, the mm-hmm. hot dogs on the floor, and, you know, and so I started to notice how little food my kids were actually needing to eat, and I started eating like them. When
mm-hmm.
I was really hungry, go for it. Have whatever you want, and then I lock that refrigerator, and it literally, my head is locked after 6 o'clock, and the only thing I can have
right.
is fruits and vegetables, because you could eat those till you drop. You could eat them every 5 minutes till you go to bed. You will never gain a pound, I promise you, and that's how I started losing the weight. I locked the fridge at night because all those pounds went to my hips and to my belly, and the weight falls off like 2 pounds, then 5 pounds, then 10 pounds. And I also got happy. I started doing the acting because it was part of my heart. And I was on stage kind of dancing and kicking the can-can. And because I was starting to act, be more active, I was really happy with what I was doing, even though it was just community theater. And I had to pay to be a part of it. You know, it was no big SAG actor thing. I was just having fun. And then I started watching the night. The night was my I looked at it like feast and famine, so I had
mm-hmm.
kind of whatever I wanted during the day, because you will burn it off. Trust me, we're running around like crazy people. And at night, I knocked it off. And
right.
that is how 55 pounds literally fell off. It's the nighttime big meals. If I sit with my family and I know I've had like way more calories than I needed for the day, I will have like, I know it sounds like hard, but it really isn't once you get into the pattern, because the body gets used to it. I have steamed broccoli, little tiny bit of, like, you know, that yogurty kind of butter. And if they're eating a big meal and they're hungry, I let them eat, but I'm sticking to my fruits and vegetables. And the weight does not come back on. And you can just start simple. Just start at 7 o'clock, stop eating. Sometimes, you know, like, or start at 8. It's, I think it's all that nighttime. For me, I get like, sometimes I want to chew, like at night, because you're processing stress or something. So I let
mm-hmm.
myself chew either, you know, just one little piece of gum, or I go for the oranges, I go for the apples. And it's really funny because your body gets used to this. It takes about a week, maybe two at the most. Your body will get used to knowing, I can have an egg, I can have a hamburger, I can have a nice, I can have some French fries. I don't care what I do during the day, but at night, fruits
mm-hmm.
and vegetables. And I
yes.
swear, I promise you, your body will thank you, the mirror will thank you, and your heart will thank you, because they'll be saying, look at that, like, look at the body that we have always had. It never changed. When you were about 16 years old, that's
mm-hmm.
your body. The body
right.
didn't get any bigger. We just keep consuming. So I started remembering that little hero weight, or that hero body that I wanted to see, is still there. It's still the same frame, but I honestly weighed this much in high school, and it wasn't hard once I retrained my mind to really just go for hungry full and
right.
knock it off at night. So those are my best tips for losing weight.
And let's go back a bit, because you were speaking about your shortcuts for happy living. Mm-hmm. And in the book, you said rule number one, it's all good. The universe is already in order and in a state of well-being. We didn't come here to fix anything, because nothing is broken. And I know that's going to be something that a lot of people are going to be thinking, wait a minute, what do you mean nothing is broken? My life is broken. This is going off and that. I want you to touch on that a few moments, but I'm going to go over here and read some of the comments over here in the Facebook events chat room. Victoria goes on to agree with Tina's prior comment of acting versus reacting. She says she agrees, Tina and her both. And Tina says she thinks that because we are aware of it, there is hope for us, and that's so true. And Victoria says, I believe so. I've gotten a little better, but, somebody just posted something and it jumped. Hold on one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find my spot. I believe so. I've gotten a little better, but I am still a ticking time bomb at times. And Victoria goes on to write, food is becoming my love again, and it gets scary at times because I've been catching myself overeating a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it is. I do. I don't eat after 6 p.m. I have a lot of vegetables in the house. Sometimes I just have a vegetable meal. And sometimes I'll even make a vegetable sub. If I want a sub, I'll actually get some flatbread and put some spinach and whatever vegetables I want in it. And that's actually a meal for me. Because as I'm getting older, I do know that, you know, these pounds, they're a lot harder to get rid of when we get older. So that's definitely something that we need to consider and work on and think about. And sometimes, I don't know if you'll agree, but sometimes it comes down to simply just rewiring our thinking about food, rewiring what we reach for when we're stressed out or when we're feeling down or depressed. Instead of reaching for that Twinkie or whatever, we can reach for something healthy, an orange, an apple. Or if we don't feel like eating, do something. Reach for a book. Do an activity. Have something that will take our minds off of the fact that we're not really hungry. We just want something to eat. Because, I you know, in my book that I wrote, I have a piece called Food is My Friend. And it talks about that, how food becomes almost like a living, breathing entity that we can depend on, like it's a real human being who will listen to all of our sorrows. But in the end, we end up paying over and over and over again. So we have to learn how to end that vicious cycle.
Well, I agree completely. And here's a quick question you can ask yourself. And this is what has helped me so much. I ask myself, mm-hmm. Do you want to chew or are you hungry?
Right.
Because I will admit 100%, I chew to process stress. Have since I was a kid. I still do now. But I try to have a really honest, and this is kind of goes back to that whole consciousness of our personal evolution. We're all growing and changing. And getting a little more aware, just raising your consciousness by asking yourself a question. Am I really hungry right now? Because I bet you 90% of the time that we're all eating, we're really not hungry. Now, sometimes during the day, yeah, we're really hungry. Great. Go for it. Eat. But when you ask yourself, am I really hungry? And you're going to give yourself an honest answer to that, I will say, and I sometimes say it out loud. I'll just say two things out loud, even in my household. I'll be like, I just need to chew. Because
mm-hmm.
chewing gets it out of my system. So I'm into Bazooka, because it has real sugar in it. I know that they're old-fashioned little gum, but I'll have my one bazooka. I'll chew my brains out for like, you know, 15 minutes or so till all the sugar gets out of it. And I kind of process that stress and I don't need to chew anymore. So I even ask, I have two girls who are teenagers. Of course, they're always worrying about their weight. And I'll say to them, are you chewing? I hear people, you know, I hear them in the cabinet. I'm like, are you hungry? And they'll be like, no, I just want to chew. I'm like, well, get an orange. An orange is really chewy. You know, look for something else. So just try to understand that, like, I think we've been programmed because maybe we don't give ourselves that self-nourishment that we need in other ways, like you just as you mentioned, whether it be literally get on the treadmill for 15 minutes if you have one, or walk around the block two times.
Yes.
If you start doing gross motor activities where you're actually moving your bigger muscles, if you even do it two or three times a week, plus kind of shutting down that fridge a little bit, you know, whether you pick 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I don't care what time you pick, but stop going to the fridge and the cabinets after a certain time, that with a little gross motor, you can lose 2 to 5 pounds a week. It's real, and it's easy because once your body gets used to it, it takes a couple of days where you have to get used to it. It happens like magic. So I try to look at the whole, like, you know, and that's that elevating your awareness, your awareness of why you're doing things, and get it out of the addiction part is the mindless part. That's the addiction part. And also give yourself some free days. You've got to take some days where you say, I'm eating anything and everything I see, because that's what Janine Roth did. Her whole example is one day she said, I don't care what it is, I'm just going to eat. I'm going to eat anything I want because I'm so tired of the self-restriction and punishment, self-punishment that we do about eating. And she let herself eat chocolate chip cookies for 4 days straight, and that's it, as much as she wanted. She said she probably had consumed like 150 cookies. And after that, her body was going, I want healthy stuff. I want something that has some substance. I need some meat. I need some milk. I'm so tired of the cookies. So we do naturally move away from bad foods after a while because your body's craving some vitamins. So the nice thing is, too, once you give yourself permission to completely, I say, I'm having a binge day. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I have 75 things of ice cream on my desk. I'll eat every last one of them if I want to. But you know you don't. You have a little bit, and then you're like, oh, God, I'm full of that, and you stop. So I let my – you got to give yourself permission and get yourself off the hook sometimes, too.
Right.
So as much as we have these rules, they're really not rigid, because I don't know about you, but I am not a famine person. I can't – I don't like feeling like people are controlling me. I don't want to feel like I'm in a famine. And so that's why I need the feasting. So I think it's always finding that beautiful balance between both, and knowing that you're allowed to have a day off, you're allowed to have a bad day or a snarf day or something.
Yes. Yes, I do it every other week. I have my day where it's my indulge day, and that's what it is. And it feels good, and then I'm done until the next, you know, time it rolls around again. But we have so many comments. Let me go over here. We have tons of comments. I'm just going to read the gambit. Where did I leave off? Victoria says, it's hard for me to not eat after 6 since she works late hours, but she will definitely try substituting the late night meals with the fruits and vegetables. Yay, that's the beginning. That's just one foot in front of the other, baby steps at a time. And Shauna, who is still up for one, Shauna's usually resting right about now. She says, oh, boy, putting down the popcorn now.
tell her popcorn is my – you have addiction foods. Honestly, if I take one piece of Skinny Pop, I will eat – the bag. It's I don't know what it is about that meeting my endorphin receptors. So tell her, please be aware, popcorn is an addiction food and you can't mentally stop. It's one of those things where I have to, if I
it's
go into
true.
Skinny Pop, I swear I'm like, how did 7 cups of that thing end up in my stomach, or 25 cups? So please watch out for the popcorn.
And Tina writes, she says, I just had a Twinkie. How did she know? SMH shaking her head. And I said, you know, I can see you, Tina. I'm watching you. Okay, I'm watching you. Okay? I saw that Twinkie.
Thank goodness Victoria came back in business.
Yeah. Oh, Victoria goes on to say, I'm itching. Oh, my. I'm itching to frying this fish. I just thawed out tonight. but I'm going to put it in the fridge. She's laughing so hard she has up a crying smiley. So Shauna writes, don't laugh, but I chew when I drink my smoothies. It fulfills my desire to chew and provides a healthy snack, LOL. But Shauna, when I make my smoothies, I have enough chunk in them where I chew too. So you're not alone in that respect. And we have some callers ready too, Diane. 2746, I believe I know who this is, but 2746, hello, you're on the air.
Hello, yes, I'm here, even though I wasn't invited, but I'm here. How you doing, Diane?
Hi, good, how are you?
How are you, Diane?
I'm great, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm reading all the comments and listening, and I'm so the opposite. I'm laughing because culturally we sometimes eat different and we search for different body images, and I was always so skinny. I mean, I got all of it. Stream bean, turn to the side, stick your tongue out, look like a zipper.
Oh, wow.
I got all of it. And this was from my family, as a kid. But as I started to get a little older, you know, I was probably 12, and, you know, they would make jokes like, you better beef up. Ain't no guy don't want no skin and bones. And I used to eat, this was up until I was probably about 15. I would listen for the things that make you gain weight. So I would listen for what they would tell you not to do. I would eat and go to sleep. Eat and go to sleep. I weighed 98 pounds until I was 20 years old, no matter what I did.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was always upset because I didn't have that body, you know, that was looked at in my culture. And, you know, I said, you know, to heck with it, you know, whatever. And I just kind of went about life. I love vegetables, especially spinach. I can eat spinach raw, cooked.
We were raised
on spinach where it was cooked, and we would get. I knew we were having spinach for dinner when I saw my mother boil eggs, because she would cut boiled eggs up on it. And I just didn't care. And just as I got, you know, comfortable with who I was, I wore anywhere from a 0 to a size 8 all through my 20s and most of my 30s too. And I left my husband and found myself in a new relationship, and I have a fiancé. And I don't mean nothing by it, but he's white, and he likes small women. Well, now I weigh 160 pounds. It's like, I mean, it's nothing to him. Well, it better not be, because like I told him, you take what you get. This all I got. And I like to eat. I mean, when I was 8 years old, every other Wednesday my parents got paid. They bought me 2 Big Macs, fries, and a shake, and I ate every bit of it.
Wow.
For years.
Wow.
And I never gained weight. Now, I was up to a size 14. I had a hysterectomy in June. And one of my girlfriends said, well, you know you're going to lose weight after that. I said, oh, nothing makes me lose or gain weight. It just happens. Well, I was wearing a 14. Now I'm back down to a 10.
Mm.
But what I also learned on this journey of eating and not gaining weight and gaining weight, I have high blood pressure. I take 2 medications for that daily. So sometimes we get tricked into thinking that if you're small, you're healthy. No, it's the fried chicken. It's the greens with the smoked meat in them. I love pork chops to death. Pork chops is my life. I like pork chops so much. I like the page Ohio Hog Farmers. I mean, I love pork chops. I can have them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But I can't do that anymore because even on my medication, I eat pork chops, it shoots up. And I do agree. I love the plan that you have. I'd never heard of that before. I just want to chew. Because sometimes I'm watching TV, I'm not hungry. I just don't have nothing else to do, so I get up and get something to eat. So maybe I can look more into maybe having a piece of gum or I don't like popcorn. I think it's a useless food. I don't taste nothing. I don't like popcorn.
Well, you know what?
Thanks so much for sharing. I appreciate it.
You're lucky because you had that really high metabolism, and that is, I think I have a zero metabolism compared to yours, which is probably running at 100. So you know, that is a blessing. That's just a blessing. But I think you brought up such an excellent point that your body knows whether that food you ate is good for it, healthy, supportive, or not. And that's where you have to really know how you feel, because my fiancé does have high blood pressure, and when I first met him, he was taking a lot of medication. He now is down to very little because I said, you know, you've got to move. You've got to, you know, take the natural stuff like the hawthorn berry, so he does a lot of that support stuff. He does take some medication, but he also knows when he has that big burger with the fries and the cheese and the bacon, that is
going to
soar the next day. And I'll sit here, I'll look at him like, are you choosing to eat this right now? And he says, I am. I said, so what are you doing tomorrow? Again, you know, the feast and famine thing. You can feast now, but you're running around the block with me, because I am not going to sit here and talk to you in the hospital when you've had 7 cheeseburgers in a row and your blood pressure is out of control. I said, you know, it's all about that consciousness and saying, what does your body want to feel? And what is your hero weight? It doesn't matter if it's a 2 or a 14 or a 22. It just, how do you feel about it? Now, I wanted to feel a certain way. And I also am on camera. So when you're on camera, trust me, it's not just 10 pounds, it adds on like 15. And I just wanted to look like somewhat healthy, and so that was my motivation. Everyone has to have a different motivation. So if 10 feels good to you, great. If 2 feels good to you, great. If whatever it is, where you're at feels great, and your man's gonna love you no matter what, you know, that's the good thing,
right?
But it's like, how do you feel about that? Because I know when you get high blood pressure, that doesn't feel good inside. Doesn't it feel kind of like you can feel it kind of like pressure, and I don't like that. So that's why I kind of really recommend you keep moving. I hope, do you get some exercise at least, and keep the gross, you know, the large muscles moving?
I would really like to tell you yes, but that would be a huge lie. I have 2 treadmills, one in the attic and the one in the attic I gave to my daughter because I needed more room in the attic for something else. I do. That is something I definitely need. I just had an episode last Saturday where I was trying on my wedding dresses, and I put on one that was strapless, and my mother said, oh, my God, what's that on your shoulder? I was like, what do you mean? And I went to the doctor. It's just a fatty tumor. It's nothing huge. Mm. But you're right. You feel blood pressure. I know when my blood pressure is getting high. I know when I've overeaten. I know when I've undereaten. I know when I get to feeling dizzy, I have a headache. And headaches are not really what I learned, anyways, from my doctor, always associated with high blood pressure. But when you have high blood pressure, every time you get a headache, you think that's what it is. But no, I do not. I hate to say it. I don't get the proper exercise. I do not. And I don't get any exercise.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so little trick. This is what made, because I honestly hate the treadmill, but I put a TV in front of it, and I know this is my treat. I have to make it a treat for myself because, again, I don't like all those constrictions and rules. So I put on my favorite, for me, I like reality TV, I admit it. You know, if I put on The Bachelor or I'm into Nashville, whatever show you like, put it on, know when it is, and that's when you get on that treadmill. Because, first of all, the time flies. Secondly, you get to see your favorite show, and I actually look forward to it. I know that sounds weird, but even if it's 17 minutes is my thing, I have to be on that treadmill for 17 minutes. Fast walking, it's turned into a jog just because it kind of came naturally. Whatever it does, if you do it even twice a week, you're going to be so fit in that wedding dress, you're going to be like, you're going to feel like, you know, just the cat's meow. I'm just suggesting that. If you can get it out of the cobwebs, bring it out, find a place, you know, put a little TV near it. It's so much more fun. Otherwise, yes, the treadmill, ooh, I'm giving you a big thumbs down. Yuck. So I had to make it fun or I won't do it.
And just so you know, to interject, ladies, I did that too. I have a small television down where the treadmill is, and I'll watch my favorite show or do something, and I'll get on and I'll, you know, press all the fancy buttons and let it do its thing. And before I know it, I'm moving along. And then after a while, I even start to you know, you jog a little bit, you walk a little bit, you jog a little bit. And once the show is off, then I look down and see I've walked 2 miles, 3 miles, whatever, and it's done. So,
exactly.
You know, that's one way to do it. But one thing that we all have to remember and or be reminded of is that our bodies need to move. That's what keeps our joints moving. And what is it, you know, you want to keep your cartilage and all of that well greased or whatever they call it. You want to keep them moving. Because if we don't, that's when our bodies start to age. And the more that we move, it does help keep our metabolism up, and it helps us look better. Diane, I know we're running out of time here. We're past your hour mark. Let me read the final comments for you. Because Diane, she has family visiting, so she has to get back to her family soon. So I'm going to read these final comments. And we're going to have you back because we just got to the tip of the book. And what I'll do is say some of the chapters in there to let you all know all the things that we didn't have time to talk about tonight. But Shauna said, Tina says, how do you chew a smoothie? Well, Tina, there's an art to this. What you do is you put larger chunks in or right before you get it all mixed. Then you add a few more chunks of whatever fruits you're using or whatever you're using. And what happens is once you pour it out into your cup or your glass, then you have your tall spoon and your straw, and you can sip some, and then you can take it and pick out a chunk of whatever's in there, and you can chew that. So it's a nice mixture of the two. Victoria writes, I don't remember ever being 98 pounds to Nikki. She says she knows she was there at some point in her life because she was a premature baby, but she just doesn't know when. Maybe between her first through her third grade years.
I'm with her. Tell her me too. Agreed.
You guys are bullies.
And but, well, she's the one that was talking about her life. She said it first through third grade. But and Nikki put up what you're weighing now. And Melanie writes, good question. Do you want to chew or are you hungry? She said she asked herself something like that just today. So, again, if these are things that we can really realign and reassess. Maybe I should have saved this, the battle of the bulge for the end, because this seems to have taken over the entire segment. But I'll tell you all, just to name some of the chapters in your book, Outed by a Psychic, we touched on that. Chapter 2, Stinkin' Thinking. Chapter 3, Course Correction. We have so many other things we have to talk about, so I'm pretty sure we're going to have you back.
I would love to.
All the world's a stage, manifestation made easy, telepathic paging, oh my gosh, old haunts. We definitely have to get into that chapter. bridging the power. You know, there's so many things in this book, so you all, you might want to pick up your copy of The Brass Ring, Change Your Life Course now, so that when Diane comes back, we'll all be able to talk and pick our favorite chapters and, you know, do a Q&A session and have her really delve into the rest of the book, because this has been, as I said, this has been just a conversation within itself, because your book is chock full of so much good information that so many people can relate to. You know, we can break this down.
Well,
for the
this
next
is the body
months.
Rebooting. This is your body rebooting segment.
Yes.
And there's so
yes.
many. And then there's the mind rebooting segment. And, of course, we can have the relationship rebooting segment. So I would love to. This has been
yes.
so fast. I can't. It feels like it's been 5 minutes. So I really appreciate you, Maria, because you're so wonderful. It just feels like, you know, I feel like we should just, like, I should go move in near you or something so we can just hang out. I love it.
I know if you ever get to this tech part of the woods, we will have to definitely meet and hook up and have coffee or something or our favorite beverage. a few more comments before we let you go. Oh, my gosh. Shauna says, she says she doesn't go the chunky route. She just chews the liquid. You know what, Shauna? We're going to have a talk with you after this. Tina writes, now that's an art, LOL. I agree with you, Tina. I'm like, you know, Shauna just took the wind right out of my sails. I'm like, wait a minute, she's chewing on the liquid. Let me think. Okay. And Tina writes, she says she was actually healthier when she was heavier. Don't let the slim shape fool you. And that's a topic, Tina. When Diane comes back, we're going to have to touch on that, because so many people that I know of who go to the gym every day, they're healthy, they run, they jog, and they do all of this, they've dropped dead recently. And that's a topic for another show. And Victoria writes, girl, please, I don't recall. You know what? I'm not even going to get into that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Victoria and Nikki are going back and forth over the weight game. But if anyone else is in the call query very quickly, or you'd like to make a comment over here in our show chat room, type it and I'll read it for you on air. Or for all of you in the call query, press the number 1 on your phone and I'll bring you on air quickly. And Diane, could you tell everyone where they can pick up a copy of The Brass Ring?
Yes, absolutely. It's The Real Brass Ring, Change Your Life Course Now. It's on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, and it's also available through my website called liveyoureverything.com, and that is a sanctuary for life transformation. It's new and in development, but I want to be able to have tips and the best books that you could possibly read and meditations, quotes, anything that kind of gives you a little bit of a lift that helps you reboot your life, because, as we said, you know, everything is good. It's just about learning how you can make little shifts and changes to live your 100% authentic, and there we go, joyful self. The part of you that came here to be happy is only like a short reach away. And so that's all those tips and suggestions are all on that website as well.
Wow, that and you know, our time is coming to an end, ladies. I know. Don't beat up the messenger tonight. It is an abbreviated show, and we can really get into this topic really deeply. But, Diane, oh, my gosh. As I said, people, we didn't even touch the surface of the book. But, wow, what a great discussion tonight. And they're still going. Let's see. Oh, gosh, I know you have to go. And thank you, Tina, for posting that, because Tina beat me to the gun. She has your site up, and that's a really cool site, too, ladies. I want you all to really check that out, because that is an excellent, excellent site. And Beth writes, thanks so much, Diane. You know, sometimes it's the little things that have the biggest impact, and I think tonight this was a topic that all of us really needed to touch base on. And this is just beginning.
It's so common. So many people struggle with replacing that self-love with food. And so just so you know, I mean, even the simplest thing, you're not alone. We all struggle with this. Even when you lose weight or gain weight, we're still struggling with the battle in our head about how that food made you feel. And another little trick, tiny little tip, I know we have to come to close, but, you know, there's a simple suggestion I like to make, and that's, I call it the I love it inventory. Think about something else that you can say, I love to do this, or I love how that makes me feel, or I love it when I get to, for me, I love it when I get to sit out by the water where, you know, here it's Lake Michigan, it's, you know, 20 degrees today, I went by the water, and I'm walking by the water, even if it's on an iceberg, which it was, because that kind of love and being able to feel so good for just those 15 minutes, that makes me not reach for the next, hostess, whatever, the ding-dongs or ho-hos or whatever. It's because I took that 15 minutes to care for yourself. So that's just another little tip I want to throw out there. When you take a little bit of time to do something from your I love it inventory, you won't be reaching for the snacks. It really does work.
Yes, it does. And, you know, stress alone is just keeping me yo-yoing at some point, but pretty much I'm rather constant. Either I'm losing or I'm not putting on a lot. And as you said, you get to a certain weight. Oh, my gosh. I know that once I reach that threshold, my knees hurt. I can't breathe at night, the whole nine yards. But Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for being here. We've gone over by 10 minutes, so I am going to let you go. Wow. We will have to work on getting you back.
I would love to.
And thank you so much for being here. Wow. It's been a powerful hour and 10 minutes. I just can't get over how we just jumped right in. And that's the beauty of having a show that just goes all by itself naturally. I love it. It has been great. Yes, we definitely need to keep in touch. And if you're on Facebook, I saw that you were there earlier. There's an events page for you. And if the family is there, and people, if you want to still ask Diane questions, type them there. And, Diane, I can send you to the your events page, and you can answer
Perfect.
The questions right there, because we'll be talking there for a while, too. But, again, thank you to all of you tonight for being here, for my special guest, Diane Bischoff-James. And are there any – I know you said that you just finished several movies and projects. Are there anything that we may be looking for you in that you'd like to share right now, or you can share a little bit later on?
I think there's one that's still on demand. It's called Proxy, and I'm in that movie. It was – now, I just have to warn you, though, that movie is a psycho thriller, and it's not for the faint of heart. Now, nothing bad happens to me. I'm like the normal person in this movie. Everybody else has like twists and turns. It is a fabulous psycho horror. But if you don't like a little bit of gore and there is some, let's just say, inappropriate scenes, I'm not in them, but there are some inappropriate scenes. It is a fabulously done movie. It's called Proxy. I have another movie that will be coming out, I think in I think it's coming out like the middle of this year, and it's called Precious Metal, and that's with Paul Sorvino, and it was filmed in Chicago, and it was just so much fun, and I get to play a detective, and I kind of am a lab rat, and so I'm kind of like Dexter if he was not a murderer. so that's a lot of fun. That's coming out this year. So those are some of the ones that. That are available, and I have a reel that's up, so if anyone wants to kind of see, there's just a few scenes, and so as soon as they come up, though, I'll be sure to put them on my website and let you know, but sometimes we don't really know the release dates.
Okay, and one more question. Beth writes, will she be doing a workshop in the East anytime soon? Because I know your book tour is just getting underway, so...
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to go to L.A., just for any listeners. I know your listeners are all over the country. Going to L.A. next week, and we'll be doing a lecture there. We'll be doing a workshop in San Francisco. I think I'm going to Raleigh, and that will be – we're still scheduling that. That will be more towards I think it's the end of – it's summer or early fall. So the best thing to do is just check my website, and I was in New York – we had a fabulous workshop in New York. That was earlier in the year, or last year, middle of last year. So just check my website. It kind of tells you the cities we're going to. I've been touring with some of the expos. The workshops, people are really enjoying. They're 2 or 3 hours, but they kind of help you cut through some of the things where you're stuck. And that's, you know, we go to the Love and Inventory. We work on a lot of exercises. You work in dyads, so you work with other people. And then I, you know, so it's part educational and very experiential. So if it is in your city and it's possible to go, I strongly recommend that you go just because they're fun and they're, but they also get right through to the meat of it. You know, it gets through to the heart of what is keeping you from having your birthright, which is joy. And so we work on a lot of those kind of things. So definitely check my website, and I'm going to keep it updated. I have some new ones that are coming up. I'm just working on the fall right now. So we'll probably have that set like in the next few weeks. So I'll know where I'm going for the whole year.
Oh, great, great. And if you can work Maryland into that, that's wonderful. That'd be great.
And I'm going to come see you. We're going to go hang out.
Oh, hey, yes, that would be great. Oh, my gosh, we could do like a girls' day out or something. So, ladies, if you're in the area where Diane is here, let's have a girls' day out. Let's do that.
You are on. You are on for that. Next time I get in your area, I'm giving you a call, and we'll schedule something. We're going to go do a spa day.
Oh, that would be great. Yes, yes, loving it. Loving it. So thank you so much. We have really taken up even more of your time. So I am so
It's sorry. No problem. I love it.
So again, tonight, ladies, again, if you have questions, Diane, I'll guide you to your show page over on Facebook. And well, if you go to the events, if you click on that and look at the calendar, your event is still up. So if you click into it, you can go into the chat room and talk to everyone and answer the questions at your leisure. But thank you so much for being here tonight. This has been wonderful. And we are going to have you back again as soon as your schedule permits so that we can talk some more. We can have that that time to really get into the book and the nitty-gritty of all of this, because it's a great book. Oh, my gosh. It just touches on our real-life issues. So thank you, my dear. Thank you so much for being here. As I said, you come as a guest, you leave as a friend. So
you are right about that. Thank you so much. I'm going to jump on Facebook right now, get into the event. I'll get back to everybody.
Okay.
And thank you so much for having me. This has been such a pleasure. I am I'm delighted, and I'm sad to leave you. I'm very sorry, but we have visitors from out of town, and I'm just so happy I could be with you tonight. So thank you so much for having me.
And thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We'll talk again soon. So thanks again. Wow, great night. So enjoy your family.
Thank you so much.
Thank
okay,
you.
Have a great night, everybody.
All right.
Okay, bye.
So tonight, as you all know, my special guest has been Diane Bishop James. She is the author of The Real Brass Ring, and check her out. Once you see her, a lot of you will probably think, oh my gosh, I've seen her. She's played in quite a few films and movies, commercials. Trust me, once you see her face, many of you will probably, it will probably click and you will know exactly who she is. And check out her movies. She has some coming out, of course, and when we get together, I'll be sure to let you all know if you'd like to hang out with us when she comes to town for our girls' day out, and we can do spa day and everything. She's going to jump over, so everybody hang around for a moment, because Diane is going to jump over into her Facebook page, so post your questions in the chat box so that she'll be able to see them, and you'll be able to get your answers there. Thanks so much for being here tonight. Ladies, we're leaving early, so you get to enjoy the rest of your evening a little early tonight. Yay, I will be over there in the Facebook group. But again, thank you so much for being here. Next week, we're going to keep it going. We're going to have Bob Sima is joining me next week. Get ready for some good music and good times next week. When Bob Sima joins me, you can check out his page too, BOBSIMA.com. Check out his music. There are some samples up there. We will be here again, 9 p.m. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for the Sunday Morning Inspiration. But until then, as always, I pray each and every one of you enough. I pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days. And I pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And I pray you enough smiles to turn the frown you've been carrying around upside down. But most of all, I pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. Thank you to all of my HTH crew. Beth, so good to see you here this evening. I'm so glad that you enjoyed Diane this evening. I'll keep everyone posted, as I said. Until next time, be well, be blessed, and by popular demand, now you all know, before I go, I'd like to remind you to continue to pay it and pray it forward. But until then, next time, we're going to end with what? Tori Lee and good music. By popular demand, I did not change our theme song because you all were going to dog tie me and lay me by the side of the road. So we're going to end as we begin after a night of good conversation, good discussion with good people, and good music. Until next time, be well, be blessed. I'll see you again soon.
get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tell my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. But I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. With only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trait.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good music.
Much for joining me here this evening on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. As always, I am so pumped up and excited each and every week. When we come together, great things happen. Thank you all for being here. I am so appreciative and humble, and I just love you all. Thank you so much, and let's keep walking this journey together. Baby steps if we have to, but guess what? You're not alone. And we're going to make it to our appointed destination. So until next time, be well, be blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I promise you we'll have Diane on again. With her busy schedule, we will work it in again. And we will have her back for an in-depth conversation to delve deeper into her book, The Real Brass Ring, Change Your Life Course Now by Diane Bischoff James. I hope you all enjoyed. And to Nikki, in case you weren't on in the beginning, Diane is also engaged, so you guys have something else in common. You can share all of those wedding preparation, different things there. But I tell you, this has been a really good show tonight. And I promise you all, I'll keep bringing you the absolute best. I have some great announcements coming because we're going to have some really cool guests throughout the year coming. So just be well prepared. And you never know who we're going to have on Healing Through Hurt. So I love you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Nikki, I'll see you over on Facebook and everyone else.
Just invite.
And I believe Diane is over there, too, in the events chat, so you all can put your questions there, and she will answer them as soon as she can. So, again, good night, ladies. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Nikki, you get to sit down with your man before you go to sleep and give us all kind of crazy answers. So,
well, he's asleep already.
Oh,
I get to start
mind.
My schoolwork that's due tomorrow early, and that way I can hang out all day tomorrow.
Okay, sis, I will see you over on the other side, on the Facebook side. Until then, be well, be blessed. Thank you to all of our guests, all of the guests who are still left in the call query. Thank you. We'll see you back here again next week, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, here on Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio. We will see you soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful remainder of your weekend.
Good night.
Love you, Sister Nikki. Good night.
Love you.